in the past you had to build an enormous solution and worry about putting a footprint in. A SaaS solution means you can take a very targeted problem, deliver a solution, sell it as a subscription, and not have any of the heavy lifting of on-site deployments and all that. Your engineers are behind the curtain building this hosted solution, and now you have a marketing and sales end that's bringing people in, and the whole middle piece drops out when you of sort of on-site deployments when you have it that way. But then also the idea that because it's a subscription service, you can very narrowly target a problem and provide a very specific targeted solution against it.
If you're a technology partner looking to optimize your engagement with the tech giants like Microsoft, you're in the right place. Welcome to The Ultimate Guide to Partnering with your host, Vince Menzione.
For the 35th episode of The Ultimate Guide to Partnering, I welcome Rick Zack, the Justice and Public Safety Solution Director at Microsoft, to discuss their role driving transformative solutions for law enforcement as part of the City Next initiative. In this episode, we discuss how Microsoft serves the law enforcement and public safety community, how the perception of cloud has changed, and the three areas where cloud opens up disruption. It's a really great conversation for partners that are engaged or those looking to find out more about this market. As with each of my episodes, I appreciate your support. Please tell your friends and coworkers about the podcast. And now there are even more places where you can find us, including iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Player FM. And if you're listening on either iTunes or Stitcher, please rate and review this podcast. Thank you for listening and supporting The Ultimate Guide to Partnering, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Rick, welcome to the podcast. You're the Justice and Public Safety Solution Director at Microsoft, and your mission is front and center in driving transformation and solutions in law enforcement as part of Microsoft City Next initiative. I'm excited to have you on today to visit with our listeners.
Thank you, Vince. I appreciate the opportunity to be part of the podcast and look forward to talking about the public safety solution market, our law enforcement customers, and some ideas from our experiences from working together with partners in this space.
So let's begin by talking about your role at Microsoft, your mission, and how it's evolved over the years.
Many people know Microsoft. They use our solutions in different ways, and we serve the enterprise in a lot of different ways. We serve the public safety community in a very specific way, which is as the world has sort of moved to the cloud, public safety agencies in many ways weren't on the front edge of making that transformation. So we as Microsoft have been working for years to lay the groundwork to make it easy for law enforcement, other public safety agencies to come to the cloud. So in the past, our work with public safety agencies was more about their core infrastructure. And now, because of the cloud has changed the way that solutions get delivered, our work is really on the front lines with law enforcement leaders, very much focused on the mission and solutions that support the mission, and less about sort of the core infrastructure work that we continue to do, but really adding this idea of being much more aligned to their mission.
So when you speak about mission, you're talking about solution sets or areas of focus within the law enforcement or justice and public safety agency.
Absolutely. Our discussions, if you went back 5 years, would be mostly with the technology team. And if you fast forward those 5 years, a lot of our discussions now are with the chief on the challenges that the chief has with, let's say it's law enforcement or corrections agency or emergency management. So instead of talking to the technology team about infrastructure, we're now talking about strategies that the agency can execute to bring them closer to citizens, to bring data together in different ways, to leverage new technologies like sensors and other IoT. And it's been a big transformation inside of Microsoft. Reflecting really a transformation on the public safety agency side. They used to think of technology as something they used to send an email, right? And now they see technology as a way to very much execute their missions.
And we're going to peel back a little bit more on this transformative use of technology in the cloud, but let's just start with, how did you end up focused in on this specific vertical?
You know, I've been with Microsoft for 16 years now. And I spent a lot of time in what would be the traditional Microsoft solution sets with very much a focus on business intelligence. So my time was spent talking to business leaders on how data can help them make better decisions for their business. But really the answer is the fact that in my life outside of Microsoft, I'm a paid on-call firefighter in suburban Chicago. And I found myself at a training exercise for the fire department one night, wondering how I could make my day job look more like what I did on nights and weekends serving out in the community. And that was part of a journey of essentially finding a place inside of Microsoft where I could take all the experience and skills I had in technology and talking to line of business leaders and turn that into a role that I was able to leverage all my public safety knowledge and now serve a different audience inside of the company.
And how do you see that role evolving in justice and public safety for you and for Microsoft?
For Microsoft, I'll start there. For Microsoft, it's moving from back office to front office, and cloud has changed that. When we delivered software in a box, right, break the shrink wrap, you know, install it on the servers, then that was really our engagement with our customers, even our public safety customers. It was behind the scenes. It was about supporting core infrastructure. Well, now with so many more solutions getting delivered through the cloud, we've moved from being sort of the back office to helping agencies look at the transformative capabilities of the cloud, right? It starts with, let's just pick something up from your servers and put them on our servers. Great. The real power comes when you say, what are the capabilities that you can now take advantage of that only exist in the cloud and can transform the way that a department operates? And I think from a personal career standpoint, from a teaming standpoint, it means that we have many more people in Microsoft who come from the government sector in general, can speak the language, understand firsthand the challenges. And in public safety, we're bringing many more people into our community who are coming from the law enforcement and other public safety communities. It's been an interesting transformation to see from the inside, from 16 years of being really much experts at Microsoft and how we execute, to bringing in and executing with people who say, we understand public safety, health and human services, modern government as practitioners, and using that to shape how we help these customers address their challenges.
As you say, there's quite a bit of advancement, and this transformation to the cloud is happening faster than most people even expected it at Microsoft. What are you seeing out there from both a technology and a customer use case perspective in your market?
You know, Vince, we see something really important happening in the cloud and the way it can serve public safety agencies or any government agency. And that's the way that cloud makes advanced capabilities available to any agency of any size. And if we talk about it in terms of public safety, when a law enforcement agency depended on its own technical infrastructure to deliver solutions, then it was always bound by how much hardware was in the basement. And that meant it was only the largest cities with the largest police departments and budgets that could afford to have the infrastructure to do very deep analytics and some of these other really breakthrough solutions. The cloud makes all of that computing horsepower an on-demand service, which means the solutions themselves can get delivered on demand, which means even my town of 12,000 people through the cloud and through cloud solutions can get the exact same solutions that only the largest agencies could get in the past. That is transformational. It used to be the haves and have-nots of who had the most modern solutions, and now even the smallest agency can get the most modern solution when they get it through the cloud. And that's really sparking three areas that agencies of all sizes are really addressing. The first is getting closer to citizens. It used to be citizen engagement was a police chief making a speech standing at a podium. And now citizen engagement says mobile apps, cloud and mobile apps, that engage citizens in an ongoing dialogue with law enforcement that really helps law enforcement and the community connect more effectively. That's enormous change from simply having the press officer, right, the public information officer for a public safety agency just make, a press release on an event. When we look at something like Miami-Dade County, that has put a mobile app in the hands of 2.5 million citizens that actually makes them part of sharing information with law enforcement, you're seeing a change in how technology can support an agency. Another great example is City of Detroit with a project that they call Greenlight that actually puts the private sector businesses in tough neighborhoods connected with law enforcement in real time through the cloud. That idea of connecting citizens and law enforcement together is made possible by the cloud because now cloud makes it available to everybody. The second big area is about connecting data together in new ways. Had a law enforcement leader just 2 weeks ago make the great statement that said, in a law enforcement agency, the data that you need to put together to solve a case may be only 5 feet apart, the physical pieces of paper, but you need technology to bring them together in a way that officers can take action. Cloud makes that possible to not only connect it inside an agency, but connect data from across multiple agencies, drive real insights, and push them out to officers in the field to have better data when they're making real-time decisions. The last piece that the cloud really opens up in a way that wasn't possible before is capturing new data in new ways from a whole new generation of devices. What we see is previously, what we'd say dumb devices are getting a lot smarter. Body-worn cameras that used to be just simply a camera connected to storage now have very sophisticated hardware on board, accelerometers to detect an officer falling down or traveling at high speed and turn themselves out, or cameras that now turn themselves on when an officer draws a firearm from a holster, or a holster and a weapon that's smart enough to collect data in real time and alert when, let's say, an officer's sidearm is more than 4 feet from their holster, meaning they're in danger. So if we think about getting closer to the community, about connecting data in new ways, and having a new generation of devices that can capture new kinds of data, all of this is made possible by the cloud, and all of it through the cloud is in the reach of any size agency.
What about organizations moving to the cloud? Did you see any resistance from these agencies in moving their data and information and using a cloud platform?
3 years ago, I was getting thrown out of many police chiefs' offices across the country just by saying the word cloud. Cloud was no. You mentioned the word cloud and out you went. And I understood it, and it was always a very friendly discussion because the discussion was always focused on mission, right? How can we help you achieve your mission? We think cloud can help you do it. Law enforcement agencies typically hate risk of any kind. And so a cloud discussion that 3 years ago was no, 2 years ago was we might do it if certain requirements are met. We're at a point now where it's yes with the chief. And the key to all of that was staying the course, knowing that the market was going to catch up to technology and that there were such breakthroughs waiting when they got to the cloud to make it worth the journey for them. So for us, we were early in really driving a cloud strategy into public safety agencies, and we knew we were going to hear no for a long time while the sort of the landscape changed. And part of it was making clear that it wasn't just moving things from their data center to ours, but really getting the chiefs to see that once they got there, there were really powerful capabilities waiting for them in the cloud. And that was really the breakthrough, right? Not just being a better computing power company for public safety agencies, but saying that's where it starts. Now let's help you take advantage of powerful cloud capabilities. And again, knowing that we were going to get tossed out of a lot of offices and seeing everyone as progress was a key part of making this transformation over the past several years.
So you mentioned three specific areas of focus. One was with regards to engagement. The second, I believe, was with data and analyzing of data elements. And the third is what I would classically call IoT, right? All of the Internet of Things, all the intelligent devices, or the tentacles that help law enforcement be more effective in the field, right? Are those kind of, am I paraphrasing the three areas?
Those are really the three, and then they connect with each other as well, because data that's coming in from a citizen, maybe through a mobile app or through collaboration between public and private sector, is getting fed into the system the same way that sensors on an officer's holster is. And now you've got much more data that you can connect the dots in an agency. And then also importantly, across agencies. And that's the next leg that we're really seeing now is once you put this together inside of one agency, how can you connect it to be even more powerful by sharing data with other agencies as well?
So what are you seeing from a partner and technology company perspective here? Are there companies I'll call, you know, software as a service type companies or ISVs, independent software vendors, that are developing these solution sets and making them available across multiple agencies? Or are these all one-off solutions?
It's very much a, it's really about ISV solutions, package solutions that take the risk out, because the question that chief will always have, the first question is, what agencies have done this before, right? Give me the names of five chiefs that I can call to see if you're in, you know, if what you've told me is any good. And the, in some ways, the prior model of we're going to come in, we're going to build something custom, you know, we'll spend 8 months doing, you know, requirements discovery. A, they don't have the time, and B, they see this as an increasingly risky model. And that is driving a universe of very purpose-built, hosted solutions that they can take advantage of, where it's easy to give them five chiefs. And I look at a vendor like Exxon, body-worn camera and other capabilities, all connected to a purely hosted subscription service. The chiefs will see something like that or similar approaches as less risky because it's a repeatable solution. They won't be the first agency who's consuming this. They can call five chiefs right away and find out how it works. And then also, because of the cloud capabilities, not have to manage hosting. And as new capabilities come online in the cloud, they start to get them as new features. So we're seeing more and more package solutions serving the sort of mission and public safety. And then the next leg we're starting to see now where the adjacent solutions are starting to connect to each other. How you manage data, records management, as it's called in law enforcement, how that connects to things like body-worn video. So starts with ISVs, and then it moves to ISVs connecting with each other.
So what do you believe are the greatest opportunities in justice and public safety for partners that want to consider this market?
But there's two things I would say. One is to find an unserved need, because in the past you had to build an enormous solution and worry about putting a footprint in. A SaaS solution means you can take a very targeted problem, deliver a solution, sell it as a subscription, and not have any of the heavy lifting of on-site deployments and all that. Your engineers are behind the curtain building this hosted solution, and now you have a marketing and sales end that's bringing people in, and that whole middle piece drops out when you have sort of on-site deployments when you have it that way. But then also the idea that because it's a subscription service, you can very narrowly target a problem and provide a very specific targeted solution against it. The other area that I would encourage people to look at is on the data and analytics side. That's one of the next wave that's coming, that if we think about the analysis that used to happen for public safety data, it used to be your typical query kinds of, you know, pattern, you know, let's count things, right? That kind of data analysis. Now it's all about deep machine learning and deep cognitive services that are available in the cloud that any partner can use as the engine behind a feature they would deliver to their own customer.
So you're saying here that there's opportunities for partners that aren't necessarily in justice and public safety to take some of their core capabilities and move them over to this market.
Absolutely, because what we see is some of the same capabilities, honestly, that are in the commercial sector. If I think about retailers and the way they do analysis of shopper sentiment and pattern analysis on adjacent purchases, those things can apply in a different scenario in the world of public safety, just looked at through a different lens. So a partner who isn't necessarily in public safety can come into the public safety with that as their experience and background, because they have the experience serving one market that will actually help them serving in another.
Microsoft is investing more in industry solutions. We saw Tony Towns-Whitley on stage at Inspire this year talking about, you know, industry focus, partner led. What is your team doing now to drive that, and where do you see the growth?
What partners want to see and what customers want to see in public safety is people who deeply understand their world. In the commercial sector, sometimes, particularly working on the consumer side, everybody's a consumer in some way. And so they bring some experience as an online shopper, as somebody who interacts with companies online, into their work with a commercial company. And public safety, government all up, and public safety in particular, it's different, right? Law enforcement's different. Fire's a different world. Customers want to talk to people who understand their world, and they want to talk to partners who understand their world very deeply. And so I think the shift here and the requirement is, if you don't have the government experience or the deep solution experience, is to partner together. How did somebody pave the road that you'd like to drive on? That is working very well in the public safety market. Commercial solutions, finding the right way to partner in public safety is proving to be very, very powerful. But again, it's this idea that they want to hear someone who speaks their own language, even if you have to put a pair together to go tell that story.
And why do you think Microsoft is uniquely positioned in this market?
Microsoft has the ability to do two things, and I think this is proving to be very powerful. One is to provide that platform for secure cloud computing for public safety, right? Being that platform provider is an incredibly powerful asset to our partners and to the end customers that we would serve together. The other piece of it is our commitment through people and resources to actually go to market with our partners in public safety. So, for Microsoft, it's not about being the power computing company, right? Where all we send our engagement with our partners is sending them a bill every month for how much cloud they consume. It's really about going to market together to jointly serve those public safety customers. And I think our partners see a clear difference in those two propositions.
And, you talked about some amazing use case scenarios. Is there one that really stands out for you that you didn't expect?
One of the things that's really interesting to see is how, we talked about IoT and the Internet of Things, but to see how a small little device can totally change the discussion in public safety. And we work closely with a partner that embeds sensors in both the holsters and inside the firearms for police officers. And they are paired because we try to drive partners together. We look for the places where they can partner. And we work together with them and another partner who's really good at bringing lots of data together into one pane of glass to manage an incident, particularly in law enforcement. And when you can see a police chief standing in front of this pane of glass and have a little box on the screen that represents a police officer turn yellow because that officer has pulled their pistol from their holster, and it turns red because they fired it in real time, you see a chief now understanding what's possible in technology in a way that they would only get a report later by radio and an after-action report 2 weeks later. They can see in real time what is happening on the ground and make better, faster decisions to support the officer and to secure the scene and protect citizens. When you see technology that the day before the chief would have thought was science fiction, and they see it real in front of them, you see the transformation. And that is, partners are doing incredibly innovative things, and then really importantly, working together with other partners to bring a full experience for that end customer. It's amazing when you're in the room when you see it happen, and even more amazing when you then see chiefs go back to their departments and say, we can transform ourselves through technology.
It's amazing. And this whole notion of sensor-driven, incident response and the like means that you no longer have to get on a walkie-talkie, right? If there's a man down, if there's a situation where an officer has pulled his holster, or maybe a gunshot has gone off, something else can mm-hmm. happen, right? You can call in additional resources. I've seen drones now being used in law enforcement, right, as a use case example. So you have all these examples. Yeah.
Well, and it changes there's some pushback there, and it's important when we talk about public safety. And, you know, the question will always come, you know, what does an officer think about having sensors that report on their activities? And that is always a discussion that a chief or somebody like Microsoft and our partners are coming in to have this discussion. That's common. And you know that there was a time in law enforcement when there was pushback even on radios. Leave me alone. Let me do my job. Right. Then that goes back a ways, but you sort of see the shift. It's important that when an agency, when a partner working with them, Microsoft working with them, is talking about transformational technology, that we're always putting people in the middle of it, right? People are dreaming up these solutions, people are building them, and it's vital that the people using them are considered and planned for in the middle of it. And even something like sensors on firearms and holsters, there was initially pushback where an officer would say, you're monitoring me, you know, let me do my job. And, you know, the chief is saying, I want transparency. I want to know when you unholster, right? And when you find the reason that is important for an officer, when they see the value in that, you get an entirely different discussion. I've been part of this particular discussion many times with sort of patrol leaders saying, my officers aren't going to want a bell to ring when they unholster their weapon. And when you say, well, it's the same sensor that's going to detect that they've lost control of that sidearm and it's now more than 4 feet away and they can't get to their radio, but help is still coming. Because the sensor sent an alert that every officer in the room goes, yeah, I want that. I got it. There's something in it for me. And that something in it for me is an incredibly important point of bringing what used to be science fiction technology across public safety. There's always resistance. You have to take the time to say, who's the person on the end of this value chain? The officer in the field who says, I get it. I now know why I want a sensor to tell you when I unholster or there's a separation from my holster. The same way that you want to be able to say, and we're going to take a device like a drone and we're going to send it into that toxic environment first, right, to gather data before we ever send a person in. And they say, got it. Now I know why we want it. There's something in it for me. And I think sometimes there's so much of a focus on the technology that we as an industry, we often overlook what happens at the end of that chain, how are they affected, and how do we make sure that they see the value that's in it for them.
Truly transformative times in law enforcement. I appreciate you sharing all of that, Rick. And, you know, you've gotten to work with many diverse sets of partners in your role. What characteristics do you believe make a great partner?
So I have a line that sort of people at Microsoft, my team, are sort of tired of hearing me say, which is my joke is that the best partnerships are measured in U.S. currency. And if you're not aligned on how you both benefit from the partnership, if you can't measure really precisely the value that each of you is driving for the other, then the partnership is going to fall down, right? You can sustain it for a while on feel good, but at some point, if you haven't really crisply defined, can measure and are seeing the output results, then it won't work. And so when you talk about what makes the best partner, it's a partner who can be just as transparent as we want to be about how we measure success, what the inputs and outputs look like. Where things don't work is when you're not incredibly clear about what you're both trying to drive out of the partnership itself. And what we see is the very best partnerships start with a really transparent discussion at the beginning. Here's what we want. What do you want? This is what we'll put in. What will you put in? How do we measure? When do we know to sort of stop or keep going? And I think in some ways, the best partners are more about partners who have the best process for coming into a partnership, understanding what they're trying to drive, and having both parties really clear about measuring their impact together.
You know, we've talked about transparency in other episodes of the podcast, and that was a really great example of how it works. I really like that one. Thank you for sharing that, Rick. Have you seen situations where a potential partner wasn't getting it working with Microsoft? What is something you wished you had said to them then to get them on the right track? Was it around transparency or were there other business principles?
You know, I'll and this is a specific issue to partnering with Microsoft. And I would say that I have been in about a million meetings where at the end of the meeting, the partner says, it rolls out their plan and then says, and then all of the Microsoft reps will sell my solution. And that's when you pause and you say, got to stop you there, right? You know, it won't work. That's not a model for success. You know, we're not going to build it, but we might help you. We're not going to sell it, but we might help you. And, you know, we're going to help you do those things, but we're not going to do those things. And that's not necessarily the end of the discussion. It usually launches a really healthy discussion of who's going to do what. But I think it's this part about managing expectations at the beginning. And I would say one thing, if a partner is stuck, the advice I would give them if I were sitting them in the room, you know, either at the time or, you know, 2 months ago when they first started getting stuck, was to ask for help. You know, we don't know what the question is. We don't know what the answer is going to look like. You know, it's not always engineering. It's, you know, sometimes it's go to market. Sometimes it's just sharing what have you seen in the past that's helped a partner get through this jam. Very often we won't necessarily get the ask for help and we want it. And I'll give you one clear example of this, which is, we as a company, Microsoft, have made this transformation from what I call revenue events, right? There's one day when an agreement gets signed and money changes hands. We're really making that transformation to everything is a service billed in arrears, right? It's Office Online, it's Azure consumed resources. And what comes out of that, making that transformation, is actually some really smart people at Microsoft would be happy to talk about how we made that jump and how a partner can evolve from one day revenue events to a subscription or other sort of ongoing or recurring revenue model. That's one example where they're stuck because they don't know how to do it. We would welcome the chance to share some insights on how we made that jump ourselves. So I would say the partner who's stuck, or the thing I wish I could tell the partner 2 months before, is when you're stuck and it seems like something, we might be able to at least share some insights, ask for the help. We don't assume that partners know everything or can do everything on their own. If you engage us, we're happy to tell you what we know and what we don't know. That's often a way to get things unstuck.
Yeah. And transformation is not always easy, right? And partners, smaller organizations, they need to transform their revenue models as well to support this ongoing revenue stream versus this transactional event. And sometimes it's a big shift for them, a big commitment from their organizations, right?
It is a very big bet. And we saw the early adopters go, which is great. I think we're somewhere in the middle of that distribution curve right now of companies launching, you know, a new one thing to figure out how a subscription model works. The transformation is hard. And the marketplace plays out in similar ways, which is if you're very large and you have a lot of customers built around an on-premises model, it is very difficult to say, and now we're going to be the ones who cannibalize ourselves through a pure SaaS something. And so, you know, we work with partners on this journey with the public safety partners we have. There are a number of them who, you know, for all that we've talked about, you know, fully hosted or a SaaS or a subscription model, there are a lot of partners we work very closely with on that journey that says, look, there's solutions right now that are all built and live on premises with your customers that we can help you over time, you know, build a value prop to move into a hosted solution for all sorts of reasons that are good for the customer. And then let's help launch some really targeted things that are adjacent to your current solutions that maybe the first rev and only rev is going to be cloud hosted.
Any other advice you have for partners looking to engage with you and the team?
The best advice I can give is this, which is to really understand what our interest is, and it's evolving. If a partner is doing something on cloud right now, they're hosting something or they're deploying into, let's say, a customer's cloud tenant, you know, they're all great. Every flavor is great. The discussion that ends up not going far with us is the one that sort of sees Microsoft as the cloud electric company. Right? That's all about price. Hey, I got a bid from somebody and this is how much a VM costs per hour. And you, Microsoft, you know, we want to get your bid. That doesn't go anywhere because our view as Microsoft and the role that we play in the solution marketplace and then with our own public safety customers directly is not about, you know, cheaper VMs and a bake off on price. Not interesting, not value add. It's not actually that interesting to end customers. And I think that's what partners sometimes are guilty of it too. They miss that that's not the point. Where it is what's the transformational change that we can make together if we work together on cloud? And so when we sit down with a partner, if our partner reaches out to us, and if it's a cheaper VM discussion, we'll always have that discussion. You know, we want to serve our customers in different ways. The one that you're going to get the most return on is this idea of, hey, if we came to cloud or there's this new capability in cloud, could we together to go do this new amazing thing? We're all over that. You will get our undivided attention around any idea that says, let's do amazing things with the cloud together and then go take it to market. We're all in at that point, in a way that we're only semi-interested in the cheaper cloud discussion, because that's not helping the end customer in really transformational ways.
That's some great advice for our partners. As you might know from listening to other episodes, I'm fascinated with how people got to this particular spot in life. And we talked a little bit about your background and how you moved within Microsoft and into this role in justice and public safety. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got started in your personal journey?
When I joined Microsoft, it was 2001, and with a clear focus on business intelligence. And I had spent my prior career in different ways all around the same question. How do you take data and deliver it to non-technical people in ways that they can uncover interesting insights and make better decisions? Take business leaders and move them from report readers to people who could actually play with data with the right user experience and make better decisions. And that, through my early Microsoft career, led me actually into our Dynamics team, our what at the time was Microsoft Business Solutions, right? Which is getting even closer to business decision makers, because in my career, I've always been in technology, but to me, the most interesting part was getting non-technical people using technology. And so when I had this opportunity, this sort of breakthrough one night at my fire department training, saying essentially, public safety people have enormous appetite for data, and generally it isn't delivered to them in a way that they can take action on. And that was the spark for me to really create a job inside of Microsoft that could take all of that experience, helping non-technical people get value from data directly and bring it into a domain in the fire service initially that I understood really well. And that was my entree into other areas like public safety, like law enforcement and courts and corrections. But it was this idea of wanting to combine two passions, this idea of making technology available to non-technical people, and then really having the sense of how do we do that in a way that serves a deeper mission in communities across the country.
So what did you do with that idea? Did you take it to someone at Microsoft, or was there already a role opened? What was the next step there?
I went exploring. I lived in the commercial sector side of Microsoft, which typically doesn't intersect with our public sector business very much. They're different audiences. They sell differently. They procure differently. And so we inside of Microsoft are sort of structured differently that way. So from a pure career exploration standpoint, I went off in search of who did this right now at the time in Microsoft. Who talks to law enforcement? Who talks to police, fire, emergency management, court, who even has these discussions and what are they talking about? And is there any connection between what they're talking about with these public safety leaders and this idea I had in my head of sort of democratizing technology for non-technologists? And it was a journey. You mentioned the word journey. It was a journey to go find where their value proposition was, find how they went to market in ways that weren't just sell, exchange, and office and things like that to government, because that wasn't what was making me happy. It was this idea of providing data in new ways to public safety. And I found a team that had a charter that sort of looked like that, and spent a lot of time persuading that there was value in adding somebody to the team who could speak public safety and open different kinds of doors and have different discussions. And so I wouldn't say I created the job, I was able to repurpose a job that was out there and bring much more of a public safety focus to it. And that gave me the opportunity to have a complete career transformation from someone who spent his career in the commercial side of our customers to somebody who is now going to spend what's now 7 years talking to public safety leaders across the country.
Sounds like you're at a really great intersection at Microsoft. Is there a most fun aspect of the work for you?
The gratifying part is to see that the decisions that we make on our team that I'm part of, the partners that we help support, making a real difference in people's lives. And that is its own reward in some ways. When you work with a city, you work with a county and the law enforcement agency, and you see results, crime down, people safer, to do this job, you have to find that just as big a reward as the check you get. And we had an assistant chief retired from a pretty big city who captured it perfectly a couple of weeks ago at a law enforcement conference about the work that they did that we supported. We're always clear. We support their work. Their reduction in crime is 74% over the last 10 years, and she nailed it. She said it's not just a number, 74% reduction. It's 100,000 fewer people affected by crime in their city. When I think about what the job is, why we all do it on our team, why I do it, why I went to sort of find and create this job, it's that piece. It's that you can use technology not just to help drive a commercial company, which is hugely important, but when you can see the impact it makes on the daily lives, safer streets, better community, sparking economic growth, now you know that you've in some ways been sort of called to do it and not just join a company to do it.
So if you had a personal billboard, and this is a metaphor actually for a message you'd like to send out to the world, what would you share on it?
Wherever you are, make it better.
Wherever you are, make it better. I like that. And Rick, I'm going to ask you about books you've read or gifted often. Is there any one that you would recommend to our listeners and why?
I'm going to give you two answers to that question. And I think one of the things that I would point people to is actually a novel. And that novel is Lincoln by Gore Vidal. And the reason I encourage people to do it, great historical novel, but when you see from a fiction standpoint, and the ability to sort of not just take the facts, but put a narrative around it, and you see Lincoln at the country's crisis, getting people on board on popular decisions, moving things, being incredibly unpopular and proud to take really hard stands, knowing what the final goal looked like. It's not just a history, but an amazing view of how decision-making in complex, unknown environments looks. And it's a great read. So I've gifted that one so many times. He's an amazing writer, but just this idea of being able to fictionalize the inside decision-making at a crossroads for our country, can't recommend it enough.
Lincoln by Gore Vidal. Okay, we've got that one.
Novels. Lincoln by Gore Vidal. The other one I would give you to read for anybody here goes back a ways in 1987. It's a book called Connections by the author James Burke. And it is a series of streams of innovation over time along different dimensions, different themes, and how one invention sparked the development of the next one and the next one. And you can draw a straight line from, in different ways, from a seemingly insignificant invention 300 years ago to a piece of technology we're using today, one link at a time.
Connections by James Burke. Is that the author's name?
James Burke.
That's a book I've never heard of before. I'm glad to, that's a one I want to pick up and read. So I appreciate you recommending that one.
I think your podcast listeners will enjoy both of them.
Rick, thank you so much for joining today. For our listeners who want to reach out to you, how's the best way for them to do so?
I think LinkedIn is the best way to reach me. I'm an active LinkedIn person, and you can find me just about anywhere on LinkedIn, and I respond quickly. I think LinkedIn is in some ways a great way to connect more than just sending an email. We can message to it, but I also like to share interesting things that I've found across LinkedIn when I start to get connected to people.
Great. We'll make sure we provide that in our show notes. Rick, I want to thank you so much for joining. I know how compressed your schedule is. I think it's very valuable for our partners and our listeners to learn more about your market and the great work you do at Microsoft. So thank you so much.
Vince, thank you for the chance to be part of your podcast today. And I look forward to listening to all of your podcasts in the future as well.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Ultimate Guide to Partnering with your host, Vince Minzione. Online at ultimateguidetopartnering.com and facebook.com/ultimateguidetopartnering. We'll catch you next time on The Ultimate Guide to Partnering.